This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We are now less than a week away from being in Oxnard, California. The show next Thursday will be live on the tennis courts. We're going to revisit the five most controversial offseason decisions the Cowboys have made in recent years. That's coming up in 20 minutes. Right now, it's time for the NFL news of the day. And here's Chiafalo.
Well, how about this, man? This time next week, we'll be on the tennis courts, hanging out in Oxnard, training camp time. Beautiful. Yeah. Got a little Trey Lance story for you from Todd Archer, who joined us in less than an hour.
Question.
NFL Network, generic NFL Network hat, Brian Broaddus. What you got?
Hi, Jack.
Was he listening to your you opened the segment?
I think he was getting his stuff ready.
I was. Why, did you just say a week from today we'll be in Oxnard?
Just yeah. Word for word.
Yeah.
Word for word.
Sorry about that.
Back to you, Eric.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
How do you get your hair to go straight back like that, by the way?
Our football coverage leading up to training camp on 105.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Keep up with the show that way.
Thank you. We have Trey Lance's story today from Todd Archer. Again, he joins us here in just a little bit. And apparently Trey Lance has gotten with one of these quarterback guru guys, and he hooked up with them just shortly before he got traded to the Cowboys. And this guy's a Dallas area dude, so it worked out that he got traded here, and now he's just with this dude, especially in the offseason, all the time. And apparently they've been working out at Colleyville Heritage in their indoor practice facility. So the story from Todd Archer, and this guy, like this quarterback coach, is his name's Jeff Christensen, and he's worked with Baker Mayfield, Pat Mahomes, like a pretty long list of studs. And he raves about Trey Lance in terms of the work ethic. He's like, man, I got hard workers all over the place. I got tons of dudes that I've worked with for a long time. Trey Lance is top three I've ever met in my life for sure.
Nice.
In terms of work ethic.
Nice.
So I think that is I think that's encouraging as we're trying to figure out what this Trey Lance thing is going to be. Broaddus is just laughing. Are you laughing at the work ethic?
What is he going to say?
Are they all top three, you think?
Yeah, what are they all going to say? You know, but hey, I'm all for it.
We'll ask Todd Archer later when he joins us how serious some of these quotes are about Trey Lance fixing some of his mechanics and really getting dialed.
That part of it, I believe. And Trey Lance is a hard worker. Don't get me wrong. I would just find it funny. The guy that you're kind of coaching up, what are you going to say about him, though? Are you going to say, well, you know, this guy's really kind of a train wreck, and I don't know why Dallas gave up a fourth-round pick, and if they think he could, if he's going to play quarterback for him ever, it's probably wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I'm never going to say that, right?
No, for sure. I get it. I don't want to hype it up too much.
I would like to hear him say, listen, this is what we've approved on Trey Lance.
He says when Lance started working with him, he was just getting cleared from the ankle injury that he had sustained in San Francisco, and he didn't need to be rebuilt. He said just retooled.
Okay.
And Christensen said like he had some wrong information. We had to experiment on a lot of things I've never done before to get him to feel certain things.
Now we're cooking.
He says the major change was his footwork. Christensen wanted Lance to be more violent with his lower body, and a slight change in his grip took away pain that apparently Lance had felt in his arm.
Is that from the whole thing we were talking about with baseball pitchers that experience that because of gripping the ball too much without the spider tack?
Yeah, he says no longer is he required to ice his arm now after long throwing sessions. And Lance said, like, I didn't even know it could be like this. Where just getting my front foot down, not striding, it's all about my feet and my feet hitting the ground the right way. Your arm is kind of a reaction to what your lower half does. And so his arm feels a heck of a lot better. I guess he was dealing with some arm pain because his mechanics were so off. And this is a guy that hasn't even thrown the football that much. We always talk about how little of just passing attempts Trey Lance has from high school to college to the NFL. It's very, very small in the sample size for him.
Surprising that he would have bad mechanics playing for Shanahan in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just always wonder when guys come from different programs and they're really high end quarterback guru guys and they come with bad habits and, you know, bad footwork and bad body position and things like that. You wonder, you know, what was San Francisco doing with him? All the, you know,
I also think like every coach has like little different keys and stuff. And you work with a guy like Shanahan,
yeah,
and you go work for yourself and your natural habits are going to creep back in. It's kind of like a golf swing and maybe a refresher or a, hey, look at it this way, look at it that way. I know in going into 2019, that was after 3 years of Dak Prescott. Remember the work John Kitna did?
John Kitna, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say he'd had good coaches there in Wade Wilson and Jason Garrett as far as guys that had played the position and could help him out a little bit. But I'm hopeful for this. You know, this gives us an opportunity. I know, you know, Brian makes some good points about what a coach is going to say, but that's, we need Trey Lance to get it figured out. The reports that we're hearing at OTAs and minicamp just further confirmed that we need a development. We need something new to click for him to give him a chance to, you know, be a value for the Cowboys.
I would be more interested right now with Trey Lance in how quickly he's processing things. I think when you guys get out to Oxnard and you watch him go through progressions, you're going to say, that's not quick enough. Or he needs to be a little bit better there.
And that's not really something a quarterback coach can, there's only so much you can do to be helped there.
He could help him get set up and he could help him get that ball out of there. That's what he can help him do. But what Trey Lance sees will determine all that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agreed. And apparently some of the stuff he does is what, when he's throwing like quick outs or crossing routes, this guy puts a broom handle at his feet to make sure he doesn't overstride. Different times tells him to be tall to make sure his posture is correct. And then he has him close his eyes as he's making throws.
So, okay.
For whatever that
trust
is.
Trust what you see.
That's certainly not helping him see the field, but all different sorts of techniques. And apparently this guy knows McCarthy very well, and he was kind of collaborating with Schottenheimer and quarterback coach Scott Tolzien and Mike McCarthy on exactly the mechanical changes to Lance and how it's supposed to marry well with what the Cowboys are asking. So it's not just Trey Lance going to do his own thing and then McCarthy's like, crap, you're tweaking things that I didn't want you to tweak kind of deal. So interesting story from Todd Archer and ESPN today about Trey Lance. And again, we'll have Todd coming up here in just a little bit. The other quarterback story of the day I saw was, you know, we have the Bears are one of the first teams getting going for training camp and they had not signed Caleb Williams up until yesterday.
Their receiver and
yeah, and Roma Dunze.
Both of them, yeah.
Well, apparently Florio was reporting on just some of the asks that Caleb Williams was trying to get into his contract. And it's actually pretty interesting stuff. So part of the negotiation included an attempt to keep the franchise tag off of Williams's contract after he finishes his fifth season with the team. So that's one of those things that's pretty unheard of. You see Dak now with his contract has a no franchise tag clause or whatever in
there.
But that's
eight,
usually
right?
Something, yeah, yeah, you've earned that right after being a veteran for a while. Caleb Williams was trying to get that in his rookie deal. Salute to him. Didn't get it, but that was one of the things that, you know, held up him getting his contract done.
I love that. I think every rookie, every agent should like come together and say, we're going to do this. Nobody sign it with the damn franchise tag. You know, it's just such a weapon that the owners use if you're good.
For sure, for sure. They also had attempted to convince the Bears to pay Caleb Williams as an LLC. And in Illinois, LLCs have zero income tax filing requirements, meaning Williams wouldn't have to pay taxes on his four-year, $39 million deal.
Very crafty.
That's pretty awesome. Again, didn't actually work for him. I don't know that he really got any of the things that he was asking for, at least as it pertains to the things that Florio's giving
himself
us here. But
I wonder if he did. I wonder if he incorporated himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he's done that, or maybe he's thinking about doing it, but trying to get the Bears to pay him that way was not something I guess they were able to do.
Maybe you can figure that out with Uncle Sam.
Yeah, another attempt was earning a forgivable loan, which would have resulted in Williams getting the money tax-free until the loan was forgiven as many as 10 years into the future. So the Bears actually went to the NFL with – all of these different proposals from Williams' people, except for the franchise tag one. They just were like, no, we're not doing that. But they went to the NFL to see, like, is there anything here that would make it invalid according to the NFL CBA? And the answer was no. But still, the league nixed both of the proposals.
Hell of an accountant, though. Get that guy around April 15th to work for you.
Yeah, I mean, his team, whatever team of agents and stuff, business people around him, I mean, they're trying to go outside the box here. And again, a lot of it didn't land, but kudos to him trying to pioneer something. Like, he won't be the first to do this. Like, this will, over the next few years, the guys with the power, the real, the first overall pick, or like Marvin Harrison Jr., he was a guy that was able to do a lot of things his own way throughout this entire draft process. Because it's like, dude, I'm going to get picked high, and so I will try and dictate things a little bit more here. Oh, yeah. I'm sure players are going to continue that.
Yeah, the combines and things like that. I'm not going to work out for this team, that team. You know, kind of get yourself positioned to get drafted where you want to go.
Do you feel like Trayvon Diggs should have been in the top 10 corners list that the anonymous executives and coaches are ranking each position in the NFL?
Not right now. I think he's got to come back healthy and prove that he can play like he did the first couple of games last year before the injury.
Do you have the 10 in front of you?
Yes. Yeah, I have the corners list right here. And Diggs did not make it. I don't think he was very happy about it either.
He was an honorable mention.
He was. Yeah, give me 9. Give me 7, 8, 9, please. And 10. Give me the bottom 4.
The bottom 4?
Bottom 4.
Okay, let me
I could probably look that up myself.
No, you're fine.
I thought you had him in front of you.
No, I do. It's right here. So the bottom 4 is what you want out of the 10?
Yep.
You're going to have Jair Alexander from the Packers at 7.
Would you rather have him or Alexander?
Alexander.
You got Jalen Johnson, Bears corner at 8.
He was a guy that talked about trading and stayed on. Good player.
Yeah, he's like physical press corner.
Exactly. I would take Johnson.
Devin Witherspoon, Seattle Seahawks, after his rookie year, already in the top 10.
Yeah.
He's sitting there at number 9.
Now we're getting close.
And then Derek Stingley Jr., your LSU guy from the Texans at 10.
I would take him over Stingley.
You would take Diggs over Stingley?
Yeah.
A lot of the people that I have a ton of respect for that cover these things, like the latter half of last season for Derek Stingley was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But he might be a guy that's turning the corner here. He hadn't necessarily met expectations early on, but as the season went on last year, apparently he became more and more locked down.
I tell you what, though, there's a problem with health with him. You know, that's a big, big thing. So I know Diggs is dealing with the knee, but, man, I think there's some Diggs, as far as tackling stuff, I think got better. And carrying routes across the field got better.
Yeah.
So I would say I wanted to know who 9 and 10 were, but I would take him over Stingley myself.
We asked Diggs to become that player, you know, after his first 2 years and all the picks, and he did. I felt like last year he was on his way to comfortably being top 10, maybe even top 5 the way that he started off.
Yeah.
Can you say quarterback guru brought us?
Quarterback guru. I always do the word guru.
The guru?
Yeah, that's what we say in the scouting world. He's a guru. Yeah. I do that. And if that's just.
No, it's all good. The tag, multiple people were like, wait, how brought us say guru again? I didn't catch
guru,
it the first
but
time.
But yeah, we say he's a guru. That's what we always do. Yeah.
Terrell Owens is still trying to make his way back into the NFL, and he's reciting a story from when he was trying to get a hold of Tom Brady with the Buccaneers in 2021 after Antonio Brown, you know, stripped down on the field and just quit, and Chris Godwin was dealing with some injuries. Terrell Owens was like, dude, I could be a receiver for you guys. He's like trying to get a hold of Tom. Like, dude, let me get in there on red zone opportunities. Mm-hmm. Let me get there on third down. He says, I reached out to Tom through Randy Moss, and a couple of other people just to come in and play third down in red zone situations. He says, this dude really ignored me. Just shows you the lack of respect. But when they get in front of you, they want to act like they respect you. He's like, I'm a Hall of Famer now. You've seen what I've done on the football field. It shows you what arrogance comes into play. Tom Brady could have made that happen.
Arrogance? I mean, you haven't been in the league for 10 years to think you could get it done. Like, I get it. You text a guy, you want to hear back from him, and if you don't, you can feel jammed up by it. I totally get that.
But, I do feel like T.O. deserved the text back from Brady.
Hall of Famer.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
H-O-F-er.
Yeah.
Keep that gold jacket on. Don't put the pads on.
Owen's last gig was with, I believe, the Bengals. If I'm right about that, I think I am.
Maybe 2012.
And he was cut by the Seahawks after his stint with the Bengals, and that was it for him.
Yeah, okay, so it was the Bengals. I remember him at the Bengals, and I remember him being covered quite a bit at that time. So you know, if you're going to think you're going to come back and play after going through all that, you were not a good, very good player at the very end there.
By the way, you did
that
have
was 2010, bro. That was 14 years ago.
2010, yeah. So this, I mean, T.O. was 48 years old.
Yeah.
Reaching out to Brady, like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Hit me on third down. And I guess Brady just left him on red.
Wow.
I don't think a Hall of Famer should do that to another Hall of Famer. I do understand where T.O.'s coming from a little bit butthurt here. But also, have some self-awareness.
You think he could have got a score?
Oh, I think Brady could have got him a score.
Yeah, no
I think
doubt.
Brady could have got him a score.
No doubt. Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
NFL News Today every afternoon, 3 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan. Again, Frank Caliendo will be joking around with him about Cowboys, and he does a great Jerry Jones. His John Gruden's amazing. His John Madden's amazing. We'll get the very latest from Frank as he's in town for 4 shows this weekend at Addison Improv. We revisit 5 recent controversial offseason moves by the Cowboys. In retrospect, do they get it right or wrong? The C-Note's next in the Nation.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, pardon me. That shrimp po' boy Brian brought in today. Got a little indigestion happening. Got a little extra air down there. Need to clear that out. Segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. It's 214-817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Cowboys training camp next week, and very much looking forward to that. We have an addition here, the Cowboys news of the day. Of course, we'll have all the Cowboys news, the videos, the interviews will be coming at you right and left. You won't know what to do with all the Cowboys content next week. And one of our favorite things that's different about this year is our man Brian Broaddus is going to stay home, stay on the tennis courts, his home away from home, and cover the entire Cowboys training camp for us.
Looking forward to that.
You'll be at the beginning of our show every day, pretty much. Practice is going to be going on, so you'll be reporting live from the field?
Yeah, live from the field, giving you guys what we're seeing there, and just answering your questions. Maybe the Tolos have questions they can chime in and ask what's going on. There'll be a lot of that. Hopefully, as we're broadcasting, have an opportunity to grab a player or two or a coach or somebody, maybe sit down with us during our show. And then I'll be working on all the other shows too. Like, if you can hear me on Sean and RJ and the midday show and stuff like that. So just making sure that we got this thing covered from the time it starts to the time it's finished. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, I know you already. That's your element. You should be talking Cowboys 24 hours a day.
I love that.
You'll be surrounded by a microphone always.
Yeah.
And then you'll go chill on the beach. That's your dream.
You know, it's funny because like when you guys come back, then like on August 3rd, then I go to live in the complex with the players and stuff like that. So
the enemy from within.
Exactly.
So we're holding you back is what you're saying.
No, I'm just, it's kind of funny to be now as much work as I do with radio stuff and walking around in the middle of all that. It reminds me of the times when I used to get on the airplane and everybody would look at me kind of weird. Cause I'd pick, like they'd be playing the Seahawks and the Seahawks are going to win this week kind of a thing. And then everybody be looking at you kind of, but
it's when you need a good book.
Yeah, exactly. But me and David Hillman always had fun getting on those planes like that.
Now, do you acknowledge you're a workaholic?
I appreciate the opportunity
a workaholic.
When you get to this age, you
appreciate the opportunity for the radio station to feed your addiction. That is working and talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Well, right on. We
got Cowboys. We get to do Cowboys pre and post game shows too.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna be on. You're gonna be out at those preseason games.
Yeah, there you go.
This is great. Boots on the ground.
Yeah, how do you like that?
877-881-1053. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you here. And simple question: what do you think is the most regrettable move the Cowboys have made in recent history? We go to Blogging the Boys, where our guy Danny Phantom, Dan Rogers. Put together the top 5 in recent years and does kind of like a after further review type of premise on this.
the idea of trading for Trey Lance, that was a 2024 fourth round pick. What we know about him now, Chief just gave you the details on what his offseason quarterback guru has had to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a regrettable move? Is it, you know, worth the shot of getting the next guy, or do you think it's just an idiotic idea that it's regrettable?
I think at this point it's more regrettable than not. It can prove to be a different story once you get through this season and then whatever ends up happening here. The problem that I keep running into is you make this move for him without much consultation of the people around you. You're Jerry. Sure. You're like, sure, I'm going to throw a fourth round pick at you and we'll have a guy that can potentially be the Dak replacement. Okay, cool. Except his contract is up at the exact same time as Dak's. So it's not like you have him cheap and under control for an additional couple of years or even 1 year once you know Dak is potentially going to leave as a free agent and boom, here we go, cheap upside guy. No, Trey Lance is going to be a free agent and he's not going to break the bank by any means, assuming he's just a backup this year and you don't see much of him on the field, but you're still having to decide what you're going to pay him. Jordan Love got like $20 million last year from the Packers before having done anything. So is that what it's going to be? I mean, it's still much cheaper than $60 million for Dak or whatever, but still, you're paying $20 million for a complete unknown.
Yeah, it's crazy. Not only is he an unknown, but it's just not clear what the Cowboys want to do with him, as Dan points out in this article. You have Cooper Rush, who's a winning backup. If you had traded a fourth for the guy that you're going to say, hey, that's our backup long-term, cool. If you traded for him knowing we're done with Dak, then I think it's no doubt a great idea. You know, any chance you take of finding your next franchise quarterback with a fourth round, I'm in favor of. What says Broadus?
I kind of look at it this way. I see Josh Ball was a fourth round pick. I see Golston was a third round pick. Fajoco was a fourth round pick. Nashawn Wright, third round pick. I'm willing to gamble. I'm willing to gamble on a, you know, I just named off four guys that probably are depth pieces for you. Maybe some of them even get cut. But to me, they had a grade of a 1-2-0, which is the top of the second round. They just started the process a year early. They got the guy in. They got to see him a whole year where there was really no pressure on him. They could see how he, you know, practiced, how he took to the classroom setting and stuff. And now is where you really find out if he could play or not. So to me, I have no problem with what they did with this pick, just because I've seen them take third and fourth round picks and not work out. So there's, you know, it's,
yeah, I hear you.
That part of it is, yeah, you don't want to be giving up fourth round picks, but Josh Ball, Golston, Fajoco, come on. We're trying.
Dak.
Yeah.
I think for me though, it would be a no brainer deal 100% if, again, you had cheap control of Trey Lance for another year or two post Dak. Now you're going to have to make some decision on him, and you say you're about to find out about him, but you're not really finding out much about him. You're watching him in training camp, you're watching him in preseason, and then you may not see him at all in the regular season. So what do you really know?
They've seen him for a year.
Sure.
That part of it, they're ahead of us in that regard, and I understand what you're saying there. I understand, but they've had practices with him. Has he played in competitive situations? No. Not Priest, no, not at all. But now you'll get to see with practices every day, taking reps, you know, having a plan for him. I don't have a problem with what they've done here. I really don't. Just because I know that they're going to have to take this journey. And, you know, if he does work out, even if Dak's the starter and they want to make the move, then if he has a very productive summer, then you go ahead and start negotiating for next year.
Randy Gregory's number two on the list. The decision to draw a line in the sand and let him go to Denver. It was 5 years, $70 million. Did not work out at all for the Broncos.
No, oh, yeah.
It didn't.
And are they saying this is a bad move for the Cowboys?
No, just a controversial decision. And upon further review, what do you think of it now?
Well, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and this
thank God they missed out on him.
Yeah, that was an agent that took his client, who is a local Denver guy, and shipped him to the Broncos to favor some curry with the Broncos. And so to me, I feel bad for Randy because he's now bounced around again. But I think, Randy, I think the Cowboys were very interested in signing him to a deal here.
Yeah, I think they dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, and he goes to the Broncos.
But I love how they were like, nope, that we thought we had a deal, and you're changing the deal now, and you know what? We're not going to get bullied like this. Yeah. I wish they would take that approach on other contracts, and they wouldn't be, you know, looked at as so soft in negotiations, because they have become the cavemen. Releasing Lyle Collins was a big one. How could you do that? And again, it seems like they, you know, knew it was best before the rest of the league there as well.
Yeah.
So that's number three. How about re-signing Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, that's the one seed for probably the worst decision they've made over the course of the last, whatever it is now, 6 years.
I think they've compounded it a little bit too, because to me, and I'll be interested to see how Leofau works out as a linebacker, but they had running backs on the board that I think could have been starters here.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And they, so by signing Zeke.
That's the biggest question of the whole draft.
Yeah, by signing Zeke. And you know, I just kind of feel like that. I hope that didn't limit them from, and they probably looked at the running back room and they said, oh no, we'll be fine here. And they didn't, you know, they had a chance to draft Lloyd and they had a chance to draft the kid from Tennessee and they didn't do it. They took Leofau. Leofau might end up being a really nice player for them, but they did have the opportunity to address the running back room with a legitimate back that could have been a starter.
You're still paying for the original Zeke contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think, you know, this decision doesn't make it. Maybe it's too far back, but the Jalen Smith thing was just insane.
Yeah.
You know, that showed a failure on several levels.
Jalen Smith jumped in there when he saw Zeke was not getting close. He saw the sign on the door was open for business, and he jumped in there and got a deal done while, you know, they were kind of itching to
it was brilliant on his part. He's like, my leg doesn't work. If you guys are willing to give me anything, I'll take it, because I know my leg doesn't work.
Fifth and final decision on this list is the Cowboys deciding to part ways with Amari Cooper. Maybe not a good trade at all. He has combined for 2,400 yards and 14 touchdowns in the two seasons, about 145 catches.
That was personal.
Was it?
Yeah, that was personal. Yeah, they lost a couple of games, and that was during the COVID situation. Remember, they lose a game at Kansas City where if they had any type of offense in the second half, they win. And then they lose the Thanksgiving Day game to the Raiders. And Amari Cooper missed both those games.
He was compromised, and it was crazy how it just did not. 12 and a half yards a catch for the Cowboys. And then in Cleveland, it was 15 and then 17 and a half last year.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think they had an offense geared to maximize Amari Cooper. It was, you know, really, really good when they first got him in 2019. That was 15 yards a catch, and, you know, he had 8 touchdowns and really saved the Cowboys season there in 2019, but could not rekindle that magic. And ultimately, you know, I think they're probably for the better, because when he was here, it was too many games with like 3 catches for 28 yards.
His road splits and home splits were really bad.
Yeah.
That was a struggle for him.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up next, we're going to talk some hoop. What do we got, Chief?
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh here. We got Bronny at his best. We have Russ on the move. And you never want to go full Tony Snell next year in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Todd Archer's coming up at 4 o'clock. Here's Eric.
Let's go ahead and cut those lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when Russell Westbrook gets traded from the Clippers, including a second-round pick swap and cash, to the Utah Jazz in a sign-and-trade for Chris Dunn. And Westbrook is expected to agree on a contract buyout with the Jazz, which will clear the way for him to join the Denver Nuggets.
Second time he's done this with the Jazz.
Yes, the Jazz.
Twice. Never
Danny
played.
Ainge is,
hadn't played a game with him yet.
He's always down to get a little extra draft pick going and pay a little bit for a guy to not play for him. He's totally down for it. And now you have the Denver Nuggets. Apparently, Jokic has signed off on this, but I mean, at this point in the summer, it's like, well, what else are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jokic is signing off on this the day of free agency starting. Like, as soon as the offseason's underway and they're like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leave you, and we're going to do nothing, and then we'll get Russell Westbrook when the dust settles.
I think Russ is a great option off the bench, you know? And maybe those are non-Jokic minutes. Maybe those are non-Jamal Murray minutes. But I've always thought he's got a sixth man's game. Obviously, when he was at the height of his powers and he was MVP caliber and averaging a triple-double, that was a motor that could drive a team to tremendous success. Now that, you know, he's a little bit older, the athleticism not what it was, I think he can be a winning part of a championship team. But as a coach, you know, it's always one of the biggest challenges to take guys that have been to the top of the mountain, been a top five player for a period of time, and now kind of try to, you know, coax them into a more supportive role. But, you know, I think there's a chance that it complements the team in a way that's helpful. You know, their offense was really the biggest issue against Minnesota. They just could not get buckets. And, you know, that's because of, you know, the kind of lack of firepower around the perimeter, lack of depth. So I think there's a shot this works out, but I just love to see it, you know, because Denver, I think's the real contender out there for the Mavs to worry about. The team that they were not able to prove, hey, we can get by you. And this does smack of a little bit of desperation. Like, let's try Westbrook. Maybe this works.
Yeah, and part of it with the Nuggets is having to deal with the new constraints that the NBA CBA has. And so that is fair to the Nuggets as they try and navigate all these different tax thresholds and the way they punish you for that. It's tough. So I don't know. Maybe the Nuggets can do a some type of deadline trade to bolster their roster a little bit. I still think they probably need a little bit of something. And if I was Jokic, I'd certainly be frustrated because he's still at the height of his powers. They have a really good core here. That starting five is super strong, but now their bench since the championship has just been absolutely depleted. And I don't know if they'll have enough to actually get another one. As currently constructed. So no. We'll see. As Westbrook, no. Probably coming off the bench for them for sure.
Hell of a place to be. You got to get lucky with a Derrick Jones Jr. at league minimum, basically, or draft a guy that can be your next guy. It's very tough to stay on top right now in the NBA. And you know, I think Denver's finding that out right now. You need an owner that's like, I don't care. You know, I will lose money to win. And unless you have that, you're not building another dynasty.
Hey, congratulations to Bronny James. He had his best game of summer league action to date. He hit the first bucket of the game, 17-foot pull-up jumper, and crowd went crazy. Confidence started soaring, and then he finishes with 12 points. He had 9 in the first half. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes that were made, which are his first 2 threes of the summer league. So, and one of those was actually a clutch 3 late in the game to tie it up.
Yeah.
So, and then Lakers get the victory. So really, really nice outing from Bronny yesterday.
Baby steps. You know, I think this is a multi-year process for him. I think being in the NBA is a much better chance to work on your game than college. So if there's a shot, you know, I think he's going to get it. But from a perimeter perspective, especially a point guard, if you want to look at, hey, this guy could do something in the league, I need 30 plus dang near averaging in the summer league. You know, this is G League quality at best.
Right, right. And I think the expectation for Bronny is just get to a point where you can be a rotational player. Yeah. And you have, here's J.J. Redick talking about the plan for Bronny and the developmental stuff that they're trying to implement there in Los Angeles now with Redick and his new staff. And then he throws in a player comp for what he thinks Bronny could be. See what you think about this.
Bronny and I have had a number of conversations. I actually had a conversation with him yesterday after practice. And, you know, he's a development player. That's how we're looking at Bronny. He's certainly going to spend time with the Lakers. He will spend time as well in the G League. You know, as we sort of build out our player development program, he's going to be an important part of that. And what I've communicated to him right now, what we're looking for is defensive ball pressure. Like, you have to be a guy that's a ball hawk at all times. We're going to develop his shot. We'll develop his ball skills. He's already got a great feel. He has a really good instinctive nature on the defensive end. I thought the third game in the Cali Classic, he made 8 or 9 really good defensive plays. We used the example yesterday. We were at the Canada-USA basketball exhibition game, and I turned to one of our assistant coaches during the game, and I said, I think Lou Dort just single-handedly broke up the 8th possession of the game. Like, his impact, you can't get into your offense sometimes. The shot clock winds down because of his ball pressure. He literally blows up entire plays because of that pressure. And I really believe this. Bronny eventually will be that guy.
Bronny the next Lou Dort. That's what he wants there, at least defensively. And I think that's what you need to do, setting up the expectations. Like, if that's how you can hang around in this league here, Bronny, as you're trying to develop a couple of things offensively. If you can just be the ultimate agitator, and Dort is bigger and more physical for sure.
Yeah.
The athleticism and Bronny will continue to get stronger and stronger. He's already pretty impressively built. We know the genetics there. Defensively, that's where he's going to make his hay. And so if you can be that type of dude that is agitating folks, even like Patrick Beverly style, you know, like you can hang around in the league for a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Lou Dort's wingspan. I see
he's 6'3", 215 is how big he is.
Yeah, so his wingspan 6'8.5".
Yeah.
Bronny 6'7.5". So, you know, and about 10 pounds lighter. I think it's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Bronny, but Alex Saar mm-hmm. is the dude who's the number 2 overall pick for the Wizards, and he went full Tony Snell. Everyone knows you never go full Tony Snell. And
what's
in his summer league game, that's where you just go 0 for everything.
Okay.
And you play a substantial amount of minutes. He played 30 minutes. It's the number 2 overall pick. And you go 0 points, you're 0 of everything from the field, and you have a bunch of turnovers, you have 5 fouls, and then you start going viral in graphics next to Tony Snell, who's infamously known for being the guy in the NBA who played like 30 minutes in a game and had no recorded statistic.
Wow.
And that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal. But guys like that get to kind of fly under the radar a little bit thanks to Bronny.
Yes.
You know, some of these top guys, it's like, okay, I'm not the headline here. Bronny's the headline.
This might be the worst draft since, remember Anthony Bennett from UNLV?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He went number 1 overall. Was that 2012, 2013, somewhere in there? It could be generationally bad.
Yeah, I mean, I remember leading into the draft, anonymous executives, one of them was quoted as saying, like, if you have the number 1 overall pick, your hope is that you can get somebody that is Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that was like the ceiling for the best players in this draft. Can you be Tobias Harris? Which is the ultimate sort of just role player dude. You had Caitlin Clark here locally last night, and she has 19 assists, setting records. She's set the single season franchise record for the Indiana Fever, and she's done it in 26 games when it comes to assists.
Wow.
So she's really getting it done. But I saw that the WNBA All-Star 3-point shooting contest and stuff, it's actually going down this Friday. It's going down tomorrow. And Caitlin Clark is not in it.
No, she's
and
not.
Neither is Sabrina Ionescu. Who won it last year and then competed in the 3-point contest versus Steph Curry, Battle of the Sexes style, during the NBA All-Star 3-point shooting competition. That was awesome. And I don't know if this is Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu saying thanks but no thanks, or if this is an egregious mistake by the league, but not having Caitlin Clark, not having Sabrina Ionescu in your 3-point shooting contest makes zero sense.
Yeah, you want to get people to tune in.
Yeah.
Maybe we're looking for a bag. Maybe there was vacation plans involved, sponsors. That's just it's a weird one right there.
The big free agent news that is going to be hitting soon here. NBA insider Shams Charania.
Oh, we're back to trusting him here.
Well, he's still a big name. I don't trust him more than I trust Woj.
Okay.
But
just asking.
The Woj bomb, I'm more confident in than whatever Shams is spitting out.
What do you think Clark's shooting 3-point percentages?
34.
I was going to say like 33 or 34.
She's right at 32.7.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know that she's every night she's out there. She's carrying a bad team. Maybe this whole thing of not wanting to shoot and all that is just kind of like, I just don't feel it right now. You know,
Want to do the 3-point contest.
Yeah, I don't want to go out there.
I just want to know if it was her choice.
Yeah. I wonder if she just said, nah, thanks, but no thanks. You know, got other things I can. Maybe she's.
I mean, we
about
see it in every other league.
Yeah.
I mean, all these dudes back out of the Pro Bowl. All these dudes back out of stuff
she
with
doesn't
the NBA.
She didn't feel real confident right now.
MLB home run derby. Yeah. Everybody's backing out. So maybe that's what it is. But if I'm the WNBA, I'm trying to do whatever I can to get Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu to go 1-on-1 here in the 3-point shooting contest. That's going to bring some serious eyeballs. And finally, it looks like Patrick Beverly got $2 million deal to play for the Israeli team. So that's what it was. And that's a record-setting number. They've never paid somebody that much money in that particular league or whatever. So he got what he wanted. $2 million bucks. Congratulations to Patrick Beverly.
Thank you, sir. A little rim session here for your afternoon. Before you know it, we'll be heading to Mavs training camp. But up next is Cowboys training camp. And the great Todd Archer from ESPN joins us to give us his thoughts with just a few days to go till Oxnard. We'll see him out there, and we'll talk to him next here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Todd Archer's coming up at 4 o'clock. Here's Eric.
Let's go ahead and cut those lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when Russell Westbrook gets traded from the Clippers, including a second-round pick swap and cash to the Utah Jazz in a sign-and-trade for Chris Dunn. And Westbrook is expected to agree on a contract buyout with the Jazz, which will clear the way for him to join the Denver Nuggets.
Second time he's done this with the Jazz.
Yes, the Jazz.
Twice. Never
Danny
played.
Hadn't played a
game with him yet.
He's always down to get a little extra draft pick going and pay a little bit for a guy to not play for him. He's totally down for it. And now you have the Denver Nuggets. Apparently Jokic has signed off on this, but I mean, at this point in the summer, it's like, well, what else are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jokic is signing off on this the day of free agency starting. Like, as soon as the offseason's underway and they're like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leave you, and we're going to do nothing, and then we'll get Russell Westbrook when the dust settles.
I think Russ is a great option off the bench, you know? And maybe those are non-Jokic minutes. Maybe those are non-Jamal Murray minutes, but I've always thought he's got a sixth man's game. Obviously, when he was at the height of his powers and he was MVP caliber and averaging a triple-double, that was a motor that could drive a team to tremendous success. Now that, you know, he's a little bit older, the athleticism not what it was, I think he can be a winning part of a championship team. But as a coach, you know, it's always one of the biggest challenges to take guys that have been to the top of the mountain, been a top five player for a period of time, and now kind of try to, you know, coax them into a more supportive role. But, you know, I think there's a chance that it complements the team in a way that's helpful. You know, their offense was really the biggest issue against Minnesota. They just could not get buckets. And, you know, that's because of, you know, the kind of lack of firepower around the perimeter, lack of depth. So I think there's a shot this works out, but I just love to see it, you know, because Denver, I think's the real contender out there for the Mavs to worry about. The team that they were not able to prove, hey, we can get by you. And this does smack of a little bit of desperation. Like, let's try Westbrook. Maybe this works.
Yeah, and part of it with the Nuggets is having to deal with the new constraints that the NBA CBA has. And so that is fair to the Nuggets as they try and navigate all these different tax thresholds and the way they punish you for that. It's tough. So I don't know, maybe the Nuggets can do a some type of deadline trade to bolster their roster a little bit. I still think they probably need a little bit of something. And if I was Jokic, I'd certainly be frustrated because he's still at the height of his powers. They have a really good core here. That starting five is super strong, but now their bench since the championship has just been absolutely depleted. And I don't know if they'll have enough to actually get another one. As currently constructed. So
no.
We'll see. As Westbrook, no. Probably coming off the bench for them for sure.
Hell of a place to be. You got to get lucky with a Derrick Jones Jr. at league minimum, basically, or draft a guy that can be your next guy. It's very tough to stay on top right now in the NBA. And you know, I think Denver's finding that out right now. You need an owner that's like, I don't care. You know, I will lose money to win. And unless you have that, you're not building another dynasty.
Hey, congratulations to Bronny James. He had his best game of summer league action to date. He hit the first bucket of the game, 17-foot pull-up jumper, and crowd went crazy. Confidence started soaring, and then he finishes with 12 points. He had 9 in the first half. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes that were made, which are his first 2 threes of the summer league. So, and one of those was actually a clutch 3 late in the game to tie it up.
Yeah.
So, and then Lakers get the victory. So, really, really nice outing from Bronny yesterday.
Baby steps. You know, I think this is a multi-year process for him. I think being in the NBA is a much better chance to work on your game than college. So, if there's a shot, you know, I think he's going to get it. But from a perimeter perspective, especially a point guard, if you want to look at, hey, this guy could do something in the league, I need 30-plus, dang near averaging in the summer league. You know, this is G League quality at best.
Right, right. And I think the expectation for Bronny is just get to a point where you can be a rotational player. Yeah. And you have, here's J.J. Redick talking about the plan for Bronny and the developmental stuff that they're trying to implement there in Los Angeles now with Redick and his new staff. And then he throws in a player comp for what he thinks Bronny could be. See what you think about this.
Bronny and I have had a number of conversations. I actually had a conversation with him yesterday after practice. And, you know, he's a development player. That's how we're looking at Bronny. He's certainly going to spend time with the Lakers. He will spend time as well in the G League. You know, as we sort of build out our player development program, he's going to be an important part of that. And what I've communicated to him right now, what we're looking for is defensive ball pressure. Like, you have to be a guy that's a ball hawk at all times. We're going to develop his shot. We'll develop his ball skills. He's already got a great feel. He has a really good instinctive nature on the defensive end. I thought the third game in the Cali Classic, he made 8 or 9 really good defensive plays. We used the example yesterday. We were at the Canada-USA basketball exhibition game, and I turned to one of our assistant coaches during the game, and I said, I think Lou Dort just single-handedly broke up the 8th possession of the game. Like, his impact, you can't get into your offense sometimes. The shot clock winds down because of his ball pressure. He literally blows up entire plays because of that pressure. And I really believe this. Bronny eventually will be that guy.
Bronny, the next Lou Dort. That's what he wants there, at least defensively. And I think that's what you need to do, setting up the expectations. Like, if that's how you can hang around in this league here, Bronny, as you're trying to develop a couple of things offensively. If you can just be the ultimate agitator. And Dort is bigger and more physical for sure.
Yeah.
The athleticism and Bronny will continue to get stronger and stronger. He's already pretty impressively built. We know the genetics there. Defensively, that's where he's going to make his hay. And so if you can be that type of dude that is agitating folks, even like Patrick Beverley style, you know, like, you can hang around in the league for a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to get Lou Dort's wingspan. I see
6'3", 215 is how big he is.
Yeah, so his wingspan 6'8.5".
Yeah.
Bronny 6'7.5". So, you know, and about 10 pounds lighter. I think it's doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Bronny, but Alex Saar is the dude who's the number 2 overall pick for the Wizards, and he went full Tony Snell. Everyone knows you never go full Tony Snell. And
what's
in his summer league game, that's where you just go 0 for everything.
Okay.
And you play a substantial amount of minutes. He played 30 minutes. This is the number 2 overall pick. And you go 0 points. You're 0 of everything from the field. And you have a bunch of turnovers. You have 5 fouls. And then you start going viral in graphics next to Tony Snell, who's infamously known for being the guy in the NBA who played like 30 minutes in a game and had no recorded statistic.
Wow.
And that's a tough deal. That's a tough deal. But guys like that get to kind of fly under the radar a little bit thanks to Bronny.
Yes.
You know, some of these top guys, it's like, okay, I'm not the headline here. Bronny is the headline.
This might be the worst draft since, remember Anthony Bennett from UNLV?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He went number 1 overall, was at 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. It could be generationally bad.
Yeah, I mean, I remember leading into the draft, anonymous executives, one of them was quoted as saying, like, if you have the number 1 overall pick, your hope is that you can get somebody that is Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that was like the ceiling for the best players in this draft. Can you be Tobias Harris, which is the ultimate sort of just role player dude. You had Caitlin Clark here locally last night, and she has 19 assists, setting records. She's set the single season franchise record for the Indiana Fever, and she's done it in 26 games when it comes to assists.
Wow.
So she's really getting it done. But I saw that the WNBA All-Star 3-point shooting contest and stuff, it's actually going down this Friday. It's going down tomorrow. And Caitlin Clark is not in it.
No, she's
and
not.
Neither is Sabrina Ionescu. Who won it last year and then competed in the 3-point contest versus Steph Curry, Battle of the Sexes style, during the NBA All-Star 3-point shooting competition. That was awesome. And I don't know if this is Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu saying thanks but no thanks, or if this is an egregious mistake by the league, but not having Caitlin Clark, not having Sabrina Ionescu in your 3-point shooting contest makes zero sense.
Yeah, you want to get people to tune in.
Yeah.
Maybe we're looking for a bag. Maybe there was vacation plans involved, sponsors. That's just it's a weird one right there.
the big free agent news that is going to be hitting soon here, NBA insider Shams Charania.
Oh, we're back to trusting him here?
Well, he's still a big name. I don't trust him more than I trust Woj.
Okay.
But.
Just asking.
The Woj bomb, I'm more confident in than whatever Shams is spitting out.
What do you think Clark's shooting 3-point percentages?
34. I was going to say like 33 or 34.
She's right at 32.7.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know that she's every night she's out there. She's carrying a bad team. Maybe this whole thing of not wanting to shoot and all that is just kind of like, just don't feel it right now. You know,
Want to do the 3-point contest.
Yeah, I don't want to go out there.
I just
want to
know if it was her choice.
Yeah, I wonder if she just said, "Nah, thanks, but no thanks." You know, got other things I can. You know, maybe she's.
I mean, we
about
see it in every other league.
Yeah.
I mean, all these dudes back out of the Pro Bowl. These dudes back out of stuff
she
with the NBA.
She didn't feel real confident right now.
MLB home run derby. Yeah. Everybody's backing out. So maybe that's what it is. But if I'm the WNBA, I'm trying to do whatever I can to get Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu to go 1-on-1 here in the 3-point shooting contest. That's going to bring some serious eyeballs. And finally, it looks like Patrick Beverley got $2 million deal to play for the Israeli team. So that's what it was. And that's a record-setting number. They've never paid somebody that much money in that particular league or whatever. So he got what he wanted. $2 million. Congratulations to Patrick Beverley.
Thank you, sir. A little rim session here for your afternoon. Before you know it, we'll be heading to Mavs training camp. But up next is Cowboys training camp. And the great Todd Archer from ESPN joins us to give us his thoughts with just a few days to go till Oxnard. We'll see him out there and we'll talk to him next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.